This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James and Brendan. Sadly, no Trisha in the studio today. We miss you, Trisha. We look forward to seeing you next week for our final show.
Final show with a bit of a footy flavour to it, apparently.
I think there will be, yeah. I'm hearing rumours of maybe even getting dressed up and whatnot. But until then, you do have the dynamic duo of myself and James. And we also have, I guess, one extra to make it the dynamic trio.
A sprinkling of Danny.
If you like, if that's how you'd like to describe yourself, then I'm down for it.
I'll come to regret it.
Welcome back to the show, Danny. For those who don't know, Danny is our producer. She has been away on a bit of a jaunt to Queensland, just casual placement.
Yep. An experience.
I'm glad you had a good experience.
Thank you. It's so cold in Melbourne. Oh, my goodness. It's horrible.
You realise you've come back to a warm week. It's going to be 23 today, everybody. 23. Get excited. And still 25 tomorrow.
Yeah, that is
quite nice weather. All right. Stop being so cynical about Melbourne's beautiful weather.
Okay.
Anyway, how have we been? Figured we should have a bit of a catch-up to start off our morning. What's news, Danny, apart from it being freezing cold?
Cold. Can't stress that enough. News is that I guess I'm moving back to Queensland now because my jaunt went quite well and I got a job. So now I've got to uproot my life and leave.
So congratulations, but also tears. That means we...
Not on the equipment, please. Yeah.
It is worth too much. Oh, dear. That sounds amazing. And yourself, James, what's news?
Yeah, the weekend was great. Obviously, footy finals, I get keen for that. I went to one of the finals with my mate, but apparently, unfortunately, I should say, Geelong won, so it wasn't a good weekend.
Yeah, I did see your Snapchat stories telling me proudly that you were going there just to see Geelong lose, and the one thing you're after didn't happen. So how did that go for you?
Yeah, I was sitting there last quarter pretty upset, but it was a good night.
Oh, well, as long as Collingwood lose this week, that's all I'm worried about. Shout out to Trisha, though.
Do we know who's in the grand final yet?
No. That's next week. Okay. Oh, my goodness. You're so from Brisbane now. You don't even know what's happening
Isn't
in footy.
Brisbane in the grand final?
They got knocked out this week.
Oh, no.
I rest my case.
So good to see you've been supporting.
True blue flat fan.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll talk about my weekend in the next segment. So if you want to hear all about Triple J's One Night Stand, listen around for that one. But otherwise, I've been enjoying some of this wonderful Melbourne sunshine.
It's improving.
It's improving.
Slowly, but surely.
There is something, I know it sounds like cheesy and really cliche, but there is something so nice about coming out of winter into spring. Like just seeing the sun again, you do feel just a little bit better.
This spring has more of an autumn flavour to it in terms of it's really cold in the morning and by lunchtime it gets really warm. And I've always associated that with like autumn.
That's right. You heard it here first. This spring is like an autumn, according to James.
Essentially the Bureau of Meteorology.
Whoa. Jane Bunn, get out of there.
The content has just elevated since I've been gone.
That's right. We are not afraid to make the bold predictions here on Get Serial. All right. Why don't you give us some uneducated weather, James? What are we going to see over the next few days?
We're going to see a top of 23, and there'll probably be a few thunderstorms in there because we live in Melbourne.
It's not correct. I'll read them later.
Oh, dear. Getting off to a good start. No, it's been a lot of fun over the last few weeks, Danny. You have missed some interesting content, and we will talk about that in our ridiculous quiz a bit later on.
I'm excited to participate.
Yeah, I know. We've upgraded you, haven't we?
Yeah.
Danny will be taking part in the ridiculous quiz because Trisha's not here today. And
otherwise, Trisha forfeits. But tonight, I'll automatically get the win.
We wouldn't want that.
On behalf of Trisha?
You are.
Oh, excellent. Trisha, so, you're proud.
No pressure at all. We've got lots of other great content coming up as well over the next couple of hours. Definitely excited for those couple of interviews. Should be really interesting. So having Jack Riley and Wing Defence as well, which are a cool band coming out of Adelaide. I had a bit of a listen over the week and liking their tunes.
Yeah, both of their tunes are pretty good. Just had a listen before we started.
Noah, glad to hear you're ready. Yeah. We are so prepared. On the ball this morning, guys. Better get into another tune. What have we got coming up next, Danny?
We've got Catching Feelings by Drax Project and 660. You're listening to Sin, Get Serial with Danny, James and Brendan.
That was... God, I can't even find it. It's Paradise by Bazzy.
Smooth!
During the song, Blake is like, this is one of my favourite songs.
Yeah, no, I zoned out of the song. I barely listened to it.
Hold on a second. Did you just call him Blake?
No. I said during the song break.
We're doing well this morning.
Break Brad.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James,
that was 30
Danny,
seconds
and
we
Brendan.
Can't get back.
That's right. You may have wasted 20 or 30 seconds of your morning, but I promise it's about to get better because we are going to talk about the one night stand. James,
your one night stand.
Yeah, James keeps hyping it up as though it was my one night stand. Just to clarify to everyone out there, including my girlfriend, it was the one night stand, Triple J's one night stand. She knows she was there, so it's okay. Made the long trek, all 700 odd kilometres of it, to Lucindale on the weekend and back again across the course of 3 days and saw some incredible music. So I thought I might take you along the journey a little bit, if you're happy to come with me, James.
Yeah, beautiful part of the world, Lucindale. Was it nice weather?
It was actually really nice weather, yeah, except going into the evening it started to drizzle a bit. But it was on the Friday, headed down that way after work, so that was a pretty long trip down to my family's, obviously from Mount Gambier, as you know, James.
Yep.
Nothing too exciting on the drive. Got there.
It never is there. It's just that one, like, it's kind of a straight road all the way there.
It's nice enough, but at night there's just nothing to see. There's literally nothing going on. So we got in, got up early, fit and firing to go. I got a bit of a squad together for the one night stand, as you do. So got some good mates come down with me. And we decided that, of course, if we were going to travel that way, we had to get in some fun in the morning. We couldn't just head, you know, just head straight to the concert. So
what did you do in the morning?
So we went for a little bit of a sneaky road trip. And one of the things we did along the way is go to the wonderful Little Blue Lake. Now, you may or may not have heard of it. Probably not.
There's a lot of blue lakes.
There's a lot of blue lakes down there. Mount Gambier is known for its blue lake. There's also a smaller one. It's quite a spectacular spot. But we made the questionable decision.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is it blue or is it South Australian water?
Let's just say it's bluer than the Yarra River, mate. So it's on the right track, okay? Before you...
I'll pay that.
You and your Victorian mindset. Ugh. No, it is beautiful fresh water. However, it is also freezing cold and it is still very much early spring. We made the very questionable decision to jump off the 10-metre cliffs into the freezing cold water.
Look, me on a 40-degree day.
Got some video that obviously our listeners won't be able to see, but they will be able to hear the audio, and I think that tells a tale in itself. And James, if you want to narrate it a bit as you do watch this video and let our listeners know what they're seeing. Oh, yes.
All right, we're going into it.
Oh, I get keen.
Oh, it is quite pretty, isn't it?
It's a beautiful spot.
So we've got a cliff here. Four boys just jumping. Oh, wow, they hit the water hard. Can you hear that water? Just goes splat. Oh, it looks very cold as one of the others comes in after him.
Good old Sonny.
Oh, there's Brendan getting the rig out. Bit of the chest fur.
As he
goes on his knees. And they're very cold.
My neck is cramping.
Wow. And the neck's cramping.
As you could tell by the end, my neck literally cramped. It was so cold. So I'm swimming.
That was terrifying to watch.
Wow.
I'm swimming along in the water, and there's a moment just before you hit the water where you question every decision you've made in your life. After I hit the water, I couldn't feel anything for the next 20 or so seconds, and then my neck started cramping. So 10 out of 10, we'll do it again.
How long did it take you from cliff to shore?
About 30 seconds. It was a very painful 30 seconds. It's interesting. Normally when you hit the water from such a height, it hurts. It stings a bit. But the water was so cold that all I felt was cold. There was no pain.
I have a pool, and I know my first swim of the summer or spring is normally like that. We take the pool cover off. Mm. The solar heating takes a while to settle in, and then we're like, oh, let's go into the pool.
James's life of luxury. The solar heating takes a while to heat up. The maid hasn't turned it on for a few weeks.
He's got a martini in hand.
And even that, I jump straight out and...
Oh, that's right. And then your mum, you know, rubs you dry.
So we'll leave that right alone.
Off into the sauna. He's got some... this canopy's ready to go. Yeah. No, it was pretty pretty cold, and the reason for that is not that anyone's interested, but it is fed from underground water. So that's cold water. That's been underground for a long time. So anyway, that was only getting started. We then headed up to the lovely Narracourt Caves, which I highly recommend. Went into a sneaky cave to get started. And then we headed to where the action was, which was Lucindale, which is literally the middle of nowhere. There's one road in, one road out. We found that out the hard way on the way out, but I'll talk about that in a minute. Tiny, tiny place, and everywhere you looked in this tiny town, I think it normally has a population of 500 max. There were people everywhere because over 15,000 people turned up to see the wonderful Hilltop Hoods, Ocean Alley, Meg Mac, G Flip. It was a lot of fun, a great lineup. The music was exceptional. It was interesting at an all age. It was touted an all ages events, which I thought was interesting, especially given how loud they had the music. So you had these adorable little kids having a great time until things got loud with the Hilltop Hoods, and then they didn't look like they were having so much fun.
So there were a lot of little kids there.
Of families. We're talking like kids that were sitting on their parents' shoulders, four, five. There were literally families there because it's an all-ages free gig. That was an interesting side of it, especially given that their bans on various substances weren't necessarily being adhered to. But it was so cute to see some of the families there enjoying some good free music.
A lot of people, because it's in the middle of
nowhere. See, that's the thing I'm always afraid of with the one-night stand. Like, it sounds amazing, but I'm like, oh, it's a free gig. Does it get, like, overcrowded?
Yeah, so 15,000 people. So it was pretty intense. Wow. But on the Lucindale Footy Oval, so shout out to the mighty Roos, who lost their grand final, actually. The Hilltop Hoods informed us. But their netball team did win. So,
that's good.
Yeah, they got a lot of promotion for a middle-of-nowhere town. That's what I'm here for. Me and the Hoods, we're both on the same page here.
Yeah, can't say I heard of Lucindale before you're going to this.
Look, I can't say place. I'd ever been there before, and I come from the region. It's such a middle of nowhere place, but amazing event. They raised lots of money too. They've actually been able to raise money for reopening their pool, among other things, which I thought was really cool. So it's going to have an ongoing benefit for the community. But the way back, oh my goodness, we got out of there eventually after, as you can imagine, 15,000 people clearing out of a footy oval takes some time. The car and I went, right, Google Maps, how can I get out of this place a back way?
And there's no back way.
Spoilers. How did you know?
Well, I think you mentioned one road.
So we are... took a sneaky opposite turn to where everyone else was going. I had another couple of cars following me, trusting in me. Never a good idea. The road turned out to be a dirt road, a winding dirt road. Got to the end of it, and it turns out that the road was blocked because that is the area that Tent City had been set up, where over 5,000 tents had been set up over the last couple of weeks to keep all the one-night standers. We weren't getting through there, let's put it that way. I tried another way, and at this point, one of the cars following me ditched me because they realized that I had no idea what I was doing. Shout out to Mitch, sorry about that. And then finally followed everyone else and joined a massive lineup of cars on the one road getting out of Lucindale. It was absolutely insane.
How long did it take?
For us, not so long, because we'd done all that mucking around on other back roads, but some people reported that they moved about 100 metres in an hour.
100 metres?
Yeah. You've got 15,000 people, not quite that, but a good number of those trying to leave all at the same time down one country road. It was never going to end.
Brendan, there's more chance of me throwing you 100 metres.
Look, mate, it's time to start walking at that point, I reckon, but everyone got home, and as far as I'm aware, they got home safely. An amazing, amazing weekend. And I'm really glad I went overall. It was a bunch of fun.
Kind of want to know what you did in caves.
It's a good question, isn't it? I mean, you get down there and it's amazing to look around, but you kind of do wonder, what do you actually do once you're there? Like, we had a look. I've been there before, so there's some spots we can do adventure caving, which is code for crawl through really long, small cracks.
Yeah, see, I'm claustrophobic, so that would
Yeah, you work. Really wouldn't like that. It's actually amazing. Highly recommend adventure caving, but in this particular instance, it didn't seem like such a good idea, given that, A, you normally have to pay for that, and I am a good law-abiding citizen, and, B, we were all dressed up in fancy clothes for the one-night stand. So, as someone told me, I'm not getting cave dirt on my fancy jeans.
Anyway, speaking of the Hilltop Hoods, we have Chased That Feeling.
What a tune this was
live. You're listening to James and Brendan and Danny on scene.
Bit of a language warning on this one.
We're on your radio. We're online. We're digital. We're everywhere. Syn Media.
Where young people run the show. Saturday's sun. I
met someone. That was Saturday Sun by Vance Joy. You're listening to Get Serial with James, Danny and Brendan. And we're going to talk to Danny because she's back to Brizzy in about a month. Is
yes,
that correct?
It is correct.
And you want us kind of to decide for you.
Well, I just want to have a bit of a, a bit of a yarn.
A bit of a yarn.
Maybe come to a conclusion. Maybe be a little bit less confused.
I love that Danny was after a yarn and instead she got a conclusive decision from James.
Anyway. Well, I forgot he's actually the all-knowing being in the room.
Look, he is the closest thing we have to a deity in the room.
So bring it on. Yeah, let's make a decision. Why not?
So what are we talking about, James?
Anyway, we're talking about whether Danny should have a share house. Or just
live
an apartment,
alone.
Live alone. The lonely life of Danny.
This is the ultimate decision, right, of being young these days.
Yeah, being kind a young adult. And
there's three options normally. There's live at home.
With your parents, mum and dad.
Yeah.
Which I'll take every day of the week.
So you're representing that team. I'm representing Team Sharehouse. And I guess, Danny, you are...
Trisha at home's...
Well, currently I'm Team Sharehouse.
Yeah. Team move out.
But, like, in Queensland... It's the, you know, property prices, rental prices aren't as high. It's literally not like a half of your wage to pay your rent as
really?
It is in Melbourne. Like, it's still a bit expensive.
Can you give me a gauge? I mean, this will be interesting to our listeners.
You can rent like a one-bedroom place for like, oh, this is going to sound a little bit like too high. But to be fair, full-time employment for like $300 a week, like a nice apartment kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. And that's a nice apartment.
Yeah.
Down in Woolloongabba, overlooking the city there, the CBD.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
So it's like, do I want to do that? Or do I want to re-enter the share house cycle.
The share house world. Well, have you spent much time in the share house cycle? It's probably the first question. So you are aware of what comes with a share house.
Yeah, like I've been in share houses for maybe the past 3 years. And it's so hard because sometimes it's great. Like when you get home and all your friends are hanging out and it's like instant company, instant hangs. But then on the other hand, like the mess, man. And you just never know when it's going to hit, you know?
You're a bit of a neat freak, aren't you, Dan?
Oh, totally. Trisha, you feel me.
Oh, dear. Trisha will be back next week. I feel like that's a bit of a dig at some of your former housemates. Shout out to all Danny's ex-housemates, messy ex-housemates out there.
Are you saying, Brendan, that your share house is like constantly clean and you never walk in
Hell
and you're like,
no.
Why?
I know, but the problem is that normally when I look at it, it's of my own doing. So shout out to my housemate, Alex. I'm throwing those out left, right and center today. But yeah, she has to put up with me. I'm probably the worst one in our share house. So
like I just often find myself, and like I love all of my housemates that I've lived with, but like you invite friends over or you invite someone over to hang out and it's like you're all of a sudden in this situation where you've got to clean up for like 2 hours just so it's like tidy
fun.
And not embarrassing.
Yeah, that's not great, but we do have to help Danny make a decision.
Okay, so clearly let's talk business, let's talk turkey. Clearly financially it's an option you've mentioned now that you will have full-time employment, so that's good. Getting a sneaky nod there, which is good to see.
Danny, are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I don't know. I haven't done the online test.
Go do it and we'll come back.
I don't know. I think I'm an introvert.
It's interesting.
Yeah, like your own company.
Yeah.
Like a bit of time
totally.
To yourself.
Yeah.
I think the fact that you're even considering living on your own is a sign that maybe you're ready for some solo time. But have you spent any time before living solo?
Yeah, like I lived by myself for like 2 years before I moved to Melbourne. Because Brisbane.
I feel like, honestly, you're in a far better position to make this decision than either of us.
Oh, okay.
James lives at home and I've never lived alone before. So.
So we're ending this conversation exactly where we started.
No. We're going to make a decision for you.
I had to make the decision, I'd say that you work in the media industry now or you're about to go to a full-time job in the media industry where you're surrounded and communicating with people 24/7. Maybe you need time by yourself when you go home. So I'm on team apartment.
Team solo.
Team solo.
Interesting. I probably back that, but also I know that you do have some form of community in Queensland. So look, if you had the right friend, I'd say go share house. Otherwise, share housing with people you don't know is such a big step while you're also going into new employment. So I say go solo.
Ooh. Okay.
You don't want that extra stress on your new employment with
exactly.
Have you guys ever heard of that thing where it's like you flip a coin and if you're happy with the answer, it means you've like, you know, it's like realistically you can be like, oh, okay, flip the coin, and if you're disappointed, choose the other one. And if you're happy, you've made the right decision.
Yeah,
I feel like we've just flipped the coin, and I'm happy with the decision.
You're happy with the decision?
Yeah. I think secretly I want
to leave. I'd just like to use this opportunity to make a massive disclaimer. If you're unhappy with the decision, I take no responsibility whatsoever. Neither does James.
Oh, man, I'm going to be calling in a hissy fit next season. Oh, my God.
No one's washing my dishes.
You set me up.
Good idea. We should definitely get Danny on the line next season.
Absolutely. We'll make sure to call in and we'll get a reflection. Yeah, hopefully we are back for another season. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with Brendan, James and Danny. And we have a sneaky little bit of Heroin by Mark E. Bassey coming up next.
Also a bit of a language warning on this one too.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. No Trisha here today, but you do have James, Brendan and Danny keeping you going on this Thursday morning. How's it going, guys? Cruising along still?
Yeah, I've woken up and I'm fresh now. So,
You're fresh now. That's good to hear.
Countdown's on until I can have coffee. We're at T-minus 2 hours and 10 minutes.
We love an after show
32
coffee.
Seconds. Oh. Yeah, get keen. This segment was not sponsored or promoted in any way by any coffee companies. James, now we are missing Trisha today. Very sad. However, you've decided to step up to the plate and take on her normal responsibilities in Trisha on Sport.
Yeah, I'll do her intro. So this is my favourite segment of the morning. It's James in Sport. So yeah, I'll be taking over the Sport segment this morning.
We look forward to having you back next week, Trisha. I need to hear all about that grand final news next week. But
yeah, I'll just read out the teams. Today, Danny is the inclusion for Trisha. She's admitted due to family reasons. So, Trisha will be back next week as an inclusion.
So the ins were Danny. Do you think it was a good team selection decision?
Yeah, not a bad in. Obviously, Danny's been on the sidelines for a couple of weeks, so she's probably ready to come back in now. She's feeling fresh and she's playing her role this morning. So.
Absolutely. And look, someone has to go out when someone comes into the team. It's a fact of the matter when you're doing these things. Swings and roundabouts, am I right?
Yeah, pretty much. One soldier goes down, another one replaces it. Kind of like that. So Danny's doing a good job this morning. But yeah, we'll get stuck into some AFL, of course. Or think all of our favourite sports here. Maybe not Danny's, but...
Yeah, and just before we do, Danny, who do you think is in the finals at the moment? Can you just tell us?
An hour ago, I did think it was still the Brisbane Lions. but now I'll revise my prediction. I reckon it'll be Richmond, because I feel like they're just always in the final. And... Collingwood.
Oh my God, you actually got it.
Hey, did I really?
Doing
they're
better than expected.
To be the grand finalist, obviously, Richmond will play Geelong on Friday night. I almost forgot that.
And then Collingwood. You could be a wag.
You should be a wag. I love that. Comment of the day.
Just comment on the Facebook page.
Any footy players are listening right now. We do have Danny.
This kind of sounds like we're trying to... Trying to sell you off.
There's a few Brisbane players that are
looking for a lady.
Anyway, back to the news.
Let's play Bachelorette footy player version.
I'm sure it'll be on Channel 9 someday.
Yeah, so we do have Richmond and Geelong on Friday night and Collingwood and GWS on Saturday twilight. Ooh,
who's your favourite? Oh, sorry. I'm going to derail this completely. Who would you date from the AFL?
Does she even know a player?
No, she's shaking. How can you ask to be a wag if you don't know any
players?
I think
if I thought about it, I could probably remember the guy from Richmond who won the Brennansdale Cup. Wait,
is that a thing?
The medal?
The Brownlow medal.
That thing. But I don't want to date him. He's a bit old.
All right. I'm gonna find some faces for you while James tells us about the actual sports news.
Sounds good.
Go for it.
So anyway, we got, as I said, for the third, fourth time, we got Richmond Geelong on Friday night and Collingwood GWS on Saturday.
Excited. Twilight.
The winner of each game will go into the grand final. There's a bit of controversy for each game. Both Geelong and GWS, both underdogs this weekend, will go in with players out due to suspension. We've got Tom Hawkins. Did you see what he did behind play on... don't know who he hit, but he hit someone and they were down for a while and he got a week. And he's known for a bit of a jumper punch and to get a little bit angry.
Yeah, and finals always bring this out as well. There's so much tension in the air and I don't know, there seems to be a lot of testosterone flowing. They just can't help it. So I'm not surprised at all that something like this has come around. Obviously, it's unfortunate for him. And as an Adelaide Crows fan, I'm going to make reference to an obscure... thing that no one else will remember, but a couple of years ago in the preliminary final week, Trent Cotchin for the Tigers should have been suspended and wasn't that. Due to the fact that it was finals and basically they gave him a favourable go. Please don't sue me, AFL, but they did. But that didn't happen this time around, which I thought is very interesting. I don't know if that's just because Geelong isn't as favoured by the AFL or whether there was genuinely a difference between the level of the incidents, but I couldn't see a difference between the level of the incidents. So I wonder about consistency year to year there.
Yeah, well, Geelong, I find, is one of those AFL protected teams, and I thought Hawkins would get off with that, but Green is definitely one. Toby Green for GWS is obviously a guy that's very not protected by the AFL. He did get off last week, however, and he did it again this week. He did eye gouging, and he'll miss a week.
That's but I think he's challenging tonight, isn't it? Though. That is the There's a. It's gone to the. So it's gone past the tribunal. It's now being protested at the next level up, which I don't entirely understand, but that is happening today. So there's a lot of uncertainty there, but the interesting part is that he got the witness, so the guy he did it to actually come up and state that he doesn't remember any contact to the eyes.
Exactly.
Which I would have thought is fairly conclusive.
And it's an interesting... He wasn't... The AFL can't win either way with this decision because I feel like last week's against Marcus Bontempelli was a lot worse than what he did on Saturday night. But
and he has
the
a track
AFL,
record.
The AFL... Yeah, Toby Green has a pretty bad record.
A very bad record. It goes
the
back and
AFL,
back.
I think his decision was based on, we just don't want you to do it again and you keep doing it again. It wasn't bad, but we need to rub you out just so you can get that out of your game. But conversely to that, Toby Green, he wasn't near as bad as last week.
And
the player said that he got him in the nose, not the eyes.
Oh, look, I think it's a very interesting, big test for the AFL here on what they're willing to, I guess, stand for, especially during finals. But on the other hand, the quality of finals that they want to put together. Because, I mean, without Toby Green there, and they're obviously going
They've
to be down Lockie Whitfield as well.
Who with appendicitis, so he
what
had
a
surgery.
Week to have appendix
And then
Cornelio's
issues.
That's
out.
Rubbish.
And so,
yeah, so the question is also around... I mean, I know officially they don't think this way, but it's going to degrade the quality of the match if he's not there.
Collingwood are just getting their dream run into the grand final. They weren't even meant to finish in the top four.
Trish is somewhere laughing right now. Danny's looking very confused. She doesn't quite know what we're talking about.
Danny just wants to see the hot footy players.
Yeah, well, while we are discussing, I'll give you a lineup, Danny. Here you go. These are some Brisbane Lions players. We'll see who you would date. I'm showing her an image of a whole bunch of Brisbane Lions players.
I've got a Hawthorn. Just to get her on the Hawthorn bandwagon.
No, she's moving to Brisbane. She can't date a hawk.
All right. Well, seeing as obviously none of these men have any women in their lives, and I have full choice. I'll go with Harris Andrews.
Ooh,
Harris Andrews.
Good choice. Yes, and a very good player as well. I'd say he has a long future at the club.
Well, that's what I care about.
You want him to have a long future at the club. Otherwise, he's moving back to Melbourne and you're left on your own.
Ooh.
So,
anyway.
So, any others taking your interest there as well?
A runner-up?
We need a runner-up. Come on.
It is The Bachelor. he looks nice. Dane Zorko. Don't know if I'd want to take the last name.
He's about 33 years old.
He's a bit of an older gent, but, that can work.
Anyway.
I like it. I mean, we're covering all the important sports news here this morning on Get Serial.
Might just get a few of your tips. Obviously, with GWS's out, they play Collingwood Saturday Twilight. Where's this one going?
Oh, I can't support Collingwood. I mean, I know that I told a couple of weeks ago, I told Trisha that they were going to go out in straight sets, her being a Collingwood fan. She was not impressed at all, but I'm going to stick to my guns. I think Collingwood will go out this weekend in a big upset. It's time GWS finally make a grand final. Too many times as the bridesmaid.
I'm with you. I hope they do, but I just can't see them losing to a depleted GWS. And Friday night, we've got Richmond and Geelong. Where do you see this one going?
This is... I genuinely think this is a 50-50 game. I mean, you've got to remember that Richmond have had 2 weeks off now. The only thing I worry about for Geelong is they have a bad habit of going win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Yeah, so I'm gonna tip Geelong.
They're not coming off the bye, so they might be okay.
My tipping's been woeful this year, so I'm going to stop going with the teams that I expect to win and start going with the teams that I want. I'm tipping Geelong.
Yeah, I'll disagree. I'll tip Richmond. Obviously, they might struggle coming off the break, and Geelong's momentum might carry him, but I feel like Richmond might be too strong.
You're probably right. Danny, you got any tips for us for either of those games? I think you've already given them, really, didn't you? You said that Richmond and Collingwood will be in the grand final.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So that'll be your tips?
Yeah. Pretty good tip. I back that. I said the same thing. So,
Yeah. And I'm just hoping for the best because I don't want the other results to happen. We might get into another tune here. Got a bit of Slow Dance by AJ Mitchell and Ava Max. Enjoy, everybody. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Brendan, Danny, and sadly no Trisha. Girl, I'll never let you
down. This is Sin News.
The time is 7:02 a.m. I'm Danielle O'Neill with your Thursday morning Sin News Bulletin. Today, the Attorney General will launch the first discussion paper in his review into industrial relations. Christian Porter says tough new penalties for wage theft will be reserved for the most serious breaches and prevent employers being criminalised for genuine mistakes. Also in parliamentary news, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has introduced an energy bill. Under the revived Big Stick legislation introduced into Parliament yesterday, energy companies could be fined tens of millions of dollars or even be split up if they are found to be jacking up prices. And the AFL community has farewelled AFL sporting legend Denny Frawley at a service yesterday in Melbourne. Frawley died in a single car crash in Western Victoria last Monday, a day after his 56th birthday. I'll be back with more news headlines in half an hour. Danielle O'Neill, Sin News.
Let's get ready to set. Serial. Hey, Melbourne. Welcome to your second hour of Get Serial on Sin for your Thursday morning. I'm joined in the studio by good friend James.
Great to be here.
And Danny is back. Great to have you back on board, Danny.
Aw, thanks.
We don't have Trisha here this morning, as you're probably aware, but she will be back very soon, the last member of our team. We have another fire hour coming up for you, don't we, James?
Love a good fire hour.
Oh, there's some good tunes coming up. Bit of G-Flip, bit of Camila Cabello, and many others. We're also going to have a chat to the wonderful Jack R. Riley in a bit of an interview, so that should be good fun. Also going to revisit Area 51. What's happening there now? Is the invasion going ahead?
Are you
going to
be there?
Oh, you know I will be. and even some sneaky entertainment news, which always gets wonderfully derailed on our show, so getting excited for that as well. Definitely stick around for all of that. Let's get into a fresh new tune now. Don't Call Me Angel by Ariana, Miley and Lana Del Rey. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
Turn down your radio.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Brendan and Danny filling in for Trish today. It's time for a segment I always have a lot of fun with. Unfortunately, we don't have Trisha here as one of the normal competitors, but it is the Ridiculous Quiz, the wonderful Ridiculous Quiz, where I bring a different quiz to normally James and Trisha, and they compete in an epic showdown.
You know what's funny? If Danny wins this today, then Trisha takes home outright.
Well, yes, that is a funny situation to be in. So Danny is going to fill in for Trisha today and take on the responsibility of, it counts towards the final score. What is the final score at the moment, James?
I think she's in front by one. Is it 5-4 or 4-3?
I think it is 5-4 because we're into our 10th show. Yeah. So pretty intense with 2 weeks to go. I need to win today.
Otherwise, next week's just going to be for nothing.
Absolutely. It is the ultimate competition. Obviously, we don't have the trophy here either today, but we'll bring that back in next week for the grand finale. Get excited. We're going a bit meta today. We're going the full circle, if you like, because what we're actually going to do for the Ridiculous Quiz today is I'm going to give you some statements that have been made on this show, some slightly odd statements. And you have to tell me who you think said
them. Am I the only person that makes odd statements?
All answers are James.
We will see. We will see. And then we will do a grand reveal. So same rules as ever. Use your name as a buzzer. For this one, before I reveal who said it, I might actually get you both to give an answer. You just can't have the same answer. Does that make sense? So if James buzzes in first and says that James said it, then you obviously buzz in afterwards, Danny, with one of the other two names.
Okay.
All right, let's get into it. So the very first question is, excuse me while I load up the right screen. All right, the first statement is, he's going for a walk. He may be sometime.
James.
Yeah.
Was it Trisha?
Okay, and what is your answer, Danny?
James.
All right. Well, let's hear the audio. I don't even have to do the reveal today.
Answer one.
Answer one.
Oh, keep going, mate.
Palmy on top of the chips. Hate
Wait,
it or rate it.
So you just called it a palmy.
You did. We've converted him. Welcome. You are now a South Australian. I hereby promise.
I saw it on the run sheet before, and I'm like, surely it's a typo. He's just called it a palmy.
He's called it a palmy.
Are you?
I am going to excuse myself from the studio.
He's going for a walk. He may be sometime.
I actually don't.
You are both wrong. No. We were talking about James actually using palmy when he claims that Parma is superior, the word for Parmigiana. It was a bit of a controversial moment, but yeah, you both failed. That was really disappointing.
Well, then.
Dismay in the studio. They're not impressed. All right, quote number two. Are we ready for it? It is, it's a bit of the face fur, I reckon.
James.
Who said it,
that
James?
That was definitely me. Definitely me.
Let's get the grand reveal. We were talking about Ed Sheeran, of all people.
A musician's had a fairly successful couple of years. Ed Sheeran.
Yes,
you may have heard of him.
Love Ed Sheeran. You've got a bit of Ed Sheeran about you, Brendan.
I don't think so. You haven't heard me sing, so we'll look. I'm not a redhead either, and I'm tall. I'm really confused. How on earth am I like Ed Sheeran? But I'll take it. I'll take it, all right?
I vibe it.
All right?
It's a bit of the face furrow.
There we go. James goes 1-0 up.
Oh. I remember saying that.
What happens if we tie?
That's a very good question. I had not prepared for this eventuality. If you tie, I'm just going to give it to James because I'm generous like that. First answer.
Where's my motivation to play then?
All right. Double or nothing then. Final one decides.
All right, two-pointer. Love it.
All right. Don't you love how I just make up the rules on the fly?
This is not fair at all, but I'm into it.
I'm sure you are. Trisha will be listening at home, rooting for you. After all, if you do get it, she does take an unbeatable lead in the series. Pressure is on.
Lots of pressure.
All right, this is the final quote. It is, she's like, I've already told you what's for dinner.
James.
Let's hear the reveal. This was when James was talking about his bag that had gone missing.
Stations. I was like hyperventilating.
Mom!
She's like, I've already told you what's for dinner. Like, no, Mom.
I feel like it's not fair, though, because James obviously is going to remember the way that James talks.
Oh, come on. You should have been listening. You're our producer.
I have listened to those episodes.
Yeah, to be fair, you have been in another state. Look,
what it does
mean is it's tied up, which means that Trisha will have to win it in her own right next week, as it should be, and we will come back with an epic AFL quiz to finish it off. It's been a lot of fun doing this segment over the season, and I hope you guys enjoyed playing along today.
Yeah, it was a good segment.
We say some strange things, don't we?
We do. Some of the stuff that
He's
you
got
just
a bit
played
of the
then.
Face
it was a bit of the face fur, I reckon.
Of which, course it
who
was.
Who says that?
James would be the answer.
I should just have known to buzz in if it's like incoherent gibberish with kind of a tinge of like AFL like commentary energy.
There's just a sprinkling of Bogan in there.
Nice.
It must be James. What have we got coming up next, James?
Oh, this is like one of my favourite songs at the moment. This is Liar by Camila Cabello. So listen to that one, and we've got James, Trisha and Brendan keeping you company. Not
Have
Trisha.
We?
We've got James, Danny and Brendan keeping you company this morning. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. I don't care if you're here or if you're... That was Liar by Camila Cabello. And right now...
You're loving that tune at the moment, aren't you, James?
I'm loving that. I was grooving to that one.
Grooving in the studio. Good to see.
Absolute tune. But now we're gonna revisit something we talked about very early, maybe even the first episode of the season. There was a massive trend there. It's kind of died a little bit now. It is Area 51.
Ah, yes. Yes, the invasion. The great invasion day is almost upon us, I believe. Or not, is the twist. So I don't know if you've been following this story or not, James. I'm pretty sure every radio station in the world has just about talked about it because it is such a ridiculous, amazing thing. But the latest news is that it has been officially cancelled. So the Area 51 raid has been officially cancelled.
What a shock.
Wanted to go.
It was alien stock. So first of all, they decided to turn it into a music festival, which was going to be crazy and, you know, talk about selling out. turning what was going to be a genuine invasion of a restricted area into a music festival. Now they've moved that music festival to Las Vegas, I believe, and the original mastermind behind it all, Maddie Roberts, who did set up the ridiculously viral Facebook event, he has dropped out of the event, so he's no longer involved, and he said it's a massive relief because the stress that's been on his mind has been pretty hardcore.
Then why create the event to begin with?
I think that there's this thing on the internet called a joke, James. You may have seen it once or twice
before.
So what,
he was joking the whole time?
I think so. So,
oh, I'm gullible.
Look, there is still, it says that 2.1 million people are going on the event. So we'll see if that ends up turning out that way.
So there's just going to be one person that decides to rock up.
Surely there will be. Surely at least a couple. Look, the US Air Force did issue a pretty stern warning to anyone who went in there. They did say that you will be... We can't guarantee your safety, basically. You go at your own risk. So it was getting pretty hardcore. I suspect there'll still be plenty turn up. What do you reckon of all this, James? What's your verdict?
I just can't see it. Like, it just seems so unrealistic why people just want to go, so many people just want to go and storm Area 51. Like, are there people that care enough, or is everyone just kind of in on the joke?
It's, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I think most people were just in on the joke, but there are some pretty odd cookies out there. I mean, I'm interested on the event. That's mainly because I can't afford to go to the US. But if you genuinely had the strength in numbers, you've got to be a little bit curious, right? You've got to be a little bit curious.
For sure. I reckon if the whole world was going, I'd join them. Obviously, there's financial issues in going to Area 51.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the event is slated for tomorrow, so I think it's actually 2 days away US time because of the confusing... No.
So we wait.
That confusing thing. So we wait and we see, and maybe we'll revisit it next week. But I guess it's this really odd example of how something that started on the internet... as a bit of a joke,
can grow so big.
Yeah, and change so much as well. There's so many twists and turns along the way. Who would have thought that a joke post made by one guy on the internet would basically put him on the forefront of internet culture for a long time and cause him incredible stress as well as give him pretty impressive fame? I mean, no one would have heard of this guy before this point.
He shouldn't, but has he got in any sort of trouble for posting the event?
I don't think so.
It's not a crime, but like he has caused a lot of people to get up and about and maybe cause a little bit of havoc going into this storming Area 51, which obviously the US government won't be totally for.
No, look, I don't think he has got into too much trouble, especially now that he's backed away. What I do find interesting, though, is that let's be straight here. He sold out and sold out in a big way. Look, I guess he thought he could try and find a way to make some money from it, and he's done that. He's put on the Area 51 celebration party, which apparently is happening across two locations, Las Vegas and Brooklyn as well, which is just ridiculous, putting on a random music festival for it.
So is this guy just a random or a guy with a
No, I think he's just random. I think he's just he's connected with some high influential people.
Okay,
because the other thing
sense.
He's done is he's started an official merch store, and so that's right. You can get your shirt with random poorly illustrated aliens on it saying "I'm going," things like this, or even more horrendously, "I clap alien cheeks," whatever that is supposed to mean.
Something tells me that's not something you say on air.
And also, I saw them aliens. You get the idea. This is the kind of level that we're operating on. But look, I guess credit to him. He found a way to make some money from it. And it'll be interesting to see. Look, maybe we will know. Maybe enough people will go tomorrow and we will find out about what's on the other side. In Area 51, what's your final verdict? Do you think we're going to find out new information tomorrow, James?
No.
Danny?
No.
You guys are so boring. I think we're going to discover aliens tomorrow, guys. I mean, we already found out this week that it was genuinely an unidentified flying object in that video that's floating around the internet, the UFO.
Danny's just given Brendan this imagine.
Yeah,
look like,
the cynicism. Come on, we've got to keep
like
things interesting.
It's just like the dissemination of, like, fake news. No, but aren't you guys finding that your Facebook feeds are just flooded with those kind of events that, like, will never happen?
Yeah, now
like,
the troll events.
Oh, and I hate it.
Shout out to our EP, Tom Denham, who creates them himself. His silly walk down Swanston Street got a bit of hype. I liked that one.
It's a couple thousand.
Like a couple, like, appearing every year, you know, have a bit of a laugh. But literally it's like
eight
things a day. And it's like,
Area
51,
what have you done to us? It's just a trend.
Yeah, oh, it's like lots of trends. It'll die off. We've had so many different internet fads. Do you remember when
like
everyone was saying...
leggings.
Remember when everyone was saying YOLO?
Oh.
Y-O-L-O? You only live once?
Oh.
2014 or whatever it was, eat your heart out. But now I don't see that anywhere. So you watch. It'll fade into the background.
I actually find myself text that sometimes.
You don't.
Like, oh, yeah, but like when I do something silly, I'll be like, yeah, but YOLO.
What other acronyms are you using? I can't imagine. What else?
NGL, not going to lie.
Yeah, I do see you use
TBH,
that one.
TBH, that,
I use that.
Yeah.
Use that
sounds
a lot.
Like a vaccine, but I use it quite a lot.
I like a bit of a TBH injection into my conversation.
This has taken a weird turn.
Yeah, this has taken a very odd turn. We might get back into the tunes, I think. We'll,
do you have tunes or do you have a bit of news?
A bit of news, I reckon.
Jump straight into the news. All right, Danny, put on your other hat. Let's hear the...
What a seamless transition.
Always.
Well, we've got our lovely little theme song.
Ooh.
The time is 7:29 a.m. I'm Danielle O'Neill with your Thursday morning Sin News headlines. Today, the Attorney General will launch the first discussion paper in his review into industrial relations. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has cancelled a UN trip after election setbacks. The AFL community has farewelled AFL sporting legend Danny Frawley at a service yesterday in Melbourne. And Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has revived Big Stick legislation to reduce energy prices. And lastly, International Trade Secretary Liz Truss has announced Brexit talks will consider two-way trade and visa-free work deals between Australia and the UK. I'll be back with your full news bulletin at 8 a.m. Danielle O'Neill, Sin News.
Nicely done there, Danny. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Brendan and Danny. Trisha away today. We look forward to seeing her again next week. It's nice. Very seamless how you put on the two hats. I'd like you to switch back to your other hat now and be another presenter. So we want.
I picture this one more of a cap.
Okay.
Like the news one is like a top hat and then the presenter is more like a backwards baseball.
It's got to be backwards, right? Backwards or sideways, yeah.
Mm. Sideways. I'll write sideways. I've not seen anyone wear a sideways cap since early 2000s.
Oh, come on, Leighton Hewitt.
He loved the sideways.
He's still going Trends around with the backwards, yeah. But I see you with the propeller as well on top when you're in this mode. I'm getting such
She's
a disgusting
not
five. Look.
Come on your show, fill in for Trisha, read the news. All I get is this.
I always thought people with the propeller hats could like fly.
Yeah.
Like as a kid, like that BC.
Yes, you're just like a helicopter. That's a good understanding of physics and how that all works. Well, Danny, is there any news you wanted to chat about from that segment?
I thought it was quite interesting that that UK and the International Secretary considering free work visas for Aussies and UK citizens. Like, would you guys support that?
Well, so it's visa free work deals, is my understanding.
Yeah.
So,
oh, sorry.
No, that's right. So that means that you don't have to get a visa to work in the UK. That would be
benefits. Benefits us. So yeah, why not?
Haven't we already got that deal with New Zealand?
I think we do. We don't quite have it with the EU, do we? I'm pretty sure you do still have to, yeah. So that would be finally something good to come out of Brexit, right?
If it happens.
If it ever happens. Well, yeah. I mean, Boris Johnson has shut down the parliament over there to try and make it happen, which seems a bit, I don't know, that whole situation just confuses me so much. I don't know about you, James, but the UK just seems like an absolute mess at the moment.
My mind right now is just like,
So Boris Johnson, when he was elected, kept saying, was it October 30 or 31?
It's around then.
Yeah, I think it was the 31st. And, you know, he's just saying, we will have Brexit by this date. And it's kind of like the Area 51 thing, where we're all kind of just waiting until
the
day comes.
I like that you're comparing politics to a joke internet invasion. But
well, it's all a bit of a countdown, isn't it?
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah. And he said he won't discuss Brexit after that date.
Won't discuss it.
Well, yeah, I was reading some news articles yesterday that, you know, it needs to be sorted out before then, according to Bojo. So we'll see what happens.
That is even better than ScoMo. Oh, my goodness.
Bojo.
The first bilateral relations meeting between ScoMo and Bojo.
Oh, imagine.
It's going to be beautiful.
Beautiful.
As long as they don't make any mistakes with each other's acronyms. Otherwise, things could get very confusing for old Bojo.
I feel like Bojo was a product of ScoMo. Like, I don't think people call him that out of Australia.
I've never heard it before, so I'm just going to roll with it from now on.
it's huge.
Yeah,
love a bit of ScoMo now, but another thing I do like is the next song, which is No One Compares to You by Jack and Jack. You're listening to James, Danny and Brendan on Scene.
I love how you pivoted out of political discussion.
He's like, bail. Like ships in the night, we never collide. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Brendan and Danny. And we're stoked to be joined on the phone by Jack R. Riley. Raised in Kiama, New South Wales, before making the pilgrimage to Sydney, Jack has been carving out a unique niche in the music scene for a few years now. The strength and consistency of his work has earned him the prize support slots of some huge international headline shows, including Gavin McGraw, Andrew McMahon, and Tiny Ruins. He's also found himself in good company locally, playing alongside praised Australian acts including Rat Hammock, Beck Sandridge, and Slowly Slowly. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jack.
Thank you for having me. How you doing?
Not too bad. And look, you've clearly come a long way over the last couple of years. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your sort of growth in the music scene?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in Kiama on the south coast of New South Wales, which is like a beachside sort of town. But I was actually born a bit further north in Sydney, and then I moved down. This is my whole life. If you want to hear the whole thing, probably not.
Go for it. We love it.
I grew up in Kiama, and I started playing music when I was about like 11. Because I was watching the Arias one night, and I saw Frontal Rom, you know, the Sydney band Frontal Rom, it's like a punk rock band. They did a performance on the Arias, and that completely changed my life.
Wow. You are one of the few people who can honestly say that the Arias inspired you.
I know. It's very weird now, thinking back.
That's amazing.
It's weird. Because, I'm very much like, music and competition are not really a thing I'm into, but watching Friends on that, like, just completely, like, it changed everything. So, like, the next day, like, I was like, I'm a musician now. I didn't have any instrument or anything, but I just, like, started telling myself I was one and started living like I was one. and then that was about it, really. And, obviously I had some, like, friends and stuff as well who were playing in, like, local bands, and that kind of made my sort of pie-eyed fantasy a bit more of a possible reality, because I could see it happening to people around me, and that's sort of what has been like a staying factor in everything that I do, that it's all very local, and it's all that, like, it's not all DIY, but it's pretty much all DIY, and it's all based in that sense of community. And that's it, really. And I just have been sort of writing little songs and doing little stuff, playing in various a million terrible high school bands.
All part of the journey, right?
Well, yeah, it's pretty funny looking back though, because like it's not like I disassociate myself with that era, but it's also just hilarious to look at. But yeah, that's it. And then at about 2011, all the bands had finished, and I just started writing music and by myself. And it was around the time when Beth Sanders started to play stuff as well. And she was like originally from Wollongong. I think she moved back there recently, actually. But yeah, me and her would like sort of play shows together, and I was just really inspired by her and another artist called Obscura Hale, who is from Wollongong originally, now lives in your town of Melbourne. And I just hung out with them and was really inspired and just started writing music by myself. And that's about it, really.
Yeah, brilliant. So since then, your career has clearly taken off, and we'll talk about your new music and tour in a moment. But for a lot of our listeners, they may not have heard of you before. So how would you describe your music?
It's kind of, in a basic sort of sense, it's like just singer, songwriter-y, introspective sort of stuff. Musically, I'm really influenced by like bands like Bloc Party and The National and who else? The Horrors, Chick Chick Chick, all of that sort of like Light City Champion, Test High School, like all of these sort of mid 2000, or maybe a bit earlier 2000, like dance punk sort of bands.
A great era.
Yeah, it was huge, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's that kind of stuff, and it is also kind of based in that, I guess for lack of a better term, that punk rock ethic of just getting out and doing it despite what talent you may or may not have, and almost in the face of it, sort of just doing it anyway.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, really.
Yeah. And have you been enjoying live performing or maybe getting into the studio and recording solitary a bit more?
I like them both, really. Any opportunity to do any sort of music stuff is very, very cool. Can I just say thank you for saying my career is taking off. That's super kind.
Well, you're talking to some of the premium radio hosts in Australia, Jack.
Seriously, I'm stoked to be doing anything.
I can't believe you've turned this into an opportunity for a humble brag, Danny, but no, we are. You're doing some amazing stuff in the music scene. It's definitely something to be proud of, Jack.
Can we just be proud of each other?
It's a great self-love moment here, right? Yep.
I've got nothing to say after that, but yeah, I am stoked that you had me on.
That's what your shows are like, I hope. They're a self-love moment.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what it is, because like, it's not as though I don't work very hard at what I do and anything, but I don't really consider myself to have any discernible talent, really. I just really am enjoying the connecting with people as a thing. It's not as though, like, music, I love it. It's the best thing in the world, but it's not like where my income comes from. So sometimes there's a little bit of self, like, oh, is this really what I do with my career? But it fully is, because it's me. But like, I also work as an early childhood teacher as well. Aww. So it's like, yeah, maybe that whole like self-love, caring community thing is kind of built into what I do from that. But what was the question? Live performing or studio performing?
That's all right. We've gone on a wonderful tangent from there.
Oh, this is good. We're on a journey right now. This is huge. the playing live is awesome because it has that sense of community and belonging and healing, and all that good stuff happens really instantly. And you can sort of be in a room and feel moods change and take up space and have other people definitely. Take up space, and you can really feel that. But being in the studio is cool because like it's a bit more of a laborious process. Like, things take time between their inception and then their coming out. So you get to stay with songs a bit longer. So they really start to mean a huge amount to me while I'm working on them, because it just takes so long. And then you like get to release it and have the response given back to you, like, oh, this is cool, or I like this, or this meant this to me. So it's both really good. There's different things.
Now, speaking of your live performances. You're halfway through your Spring Fling tour. You're in Canberra tomorrow night, and then Saturday you're in Melbourne. How has the tour been going so far?
It is so fun. Oh, my God. So we're on tour with this band called Amends, they're just the best band in the world. So I feel stoked every time that I get to see them, which is sick. And everyone's been really, really nice. The shows have been really, really fun. We've sort of been doing, like, we're kind of doing in between, like, a DIY tour and, like, a tour. So, like, we've been playing at record stores. Canberra has like a house show where, like, where people open up their house and have, like, a show. I guess the clue is in the title there. So we're excited for Melbourne as well, because that's like the... Oh, and in Sydney we played the Botany Zoo as well. That was, like, a venue, but, we're doing the Old Bar in Melbourne, and that's like hallowed ground to me.
Yeah, that's a super exciting show. So that will be happening this Saturday, the 21st of September. You can find tickets online. Is it at the door? I've just completely sold that wrong. That one is at the door. So that will be at the Old Bar. That is a fantastic venue to be playing. You excited for that show?
I'm super excited. We got to play there last year as well. And that was amazing. It's a band called The Flying So High. They were amazing. And now, we're doing this. So it does, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do have the new single out. Is that right?
I got Who Can Say out. They've got another single coming out on Friday, but don't tell anyone.
Ooh, okay. We'll keep that a secret for you. But I suspect that means that people will be able to possibly see you play this new single on Saturday. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's definitely awesome. All right, so get around it, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jack. It's been great to have a chat.
Thank you.
Yet again, if anyone wants to see you and see your music live, you can head down to the Old Bar Fitzroy on Saturday, the 21st of September. I think doors are opening at 7:30 by the look of things here. We're about to play your previous single, we say now. is there anything you want to say about the track to sign off?
Just thank you for being so kind about it. That's about it, really. And I hope everyone's having a good day. It's morning time. We've got to get stuff going.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to go into Who Can Say by Jack I.R. Riley. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Jack Riley's new single, Who Can Say. You're listening to James, Brendan and Danny.
It was a great tune and great to have a chat with Jack. Make sure you listen to the podcast if you missed it. That's I really dug that tune. It was good fun.
Nice guy too. Wishing us all a good day.
I know, right? And telling us that, he said it was a good vibe, that we were all in a positive environment together. That was so nice. Mm. We're going to move along now to what is hopefully a positive environment for most people. That is...
From one love fest to another.
Smooth segue there. We are going to talk a little bit about dating apps. And in particular, there's an article that's come out recently that's suggesting that Facebook dating is about to start. So for those who don't know, Facebook dating is going to move into the already crowded dating space, competing with Tinder, Match and Bumble and a variety of others. Unsurprisingly, Facebook has seen the potential to make some money here and to add another service. So they're obviously keen to get a piece of that action, so to speak.
That's going to be huge. Facebook, obviously, probably the largest social media company in the world. So I reckon a dating app on Facebook will be successful and hopefully bring some couples together.
Well, would you use it, do you think?
You're
straight away yes. What about you, Danny?
I don't know. Well, it depends how it works. Like if it brings say you've got your friends, right? Your 300, 500 friends from high school, whatever.
My 2,000.
Does it alert you when one of them, like, was it like, oh, X person is now single, start a chat? I just feel like that's a bit not a territory I'd be into.
Yeah, and how linked is it with your Facebook profile as well?
That's the thing. I like a bit of anonymity on like the whole dating app thing. Mm. So I can catfish people. I'm kidding.
Right, we might just clarify that definitely was a joke. Danny's not catfishing anyone, as far as I'm aware.
No.
It's a bit of a funny space to be talking about. I don't know. I'm in a long-term happy relationship, so I would not be using this at this stage at all. But my roommate, Alex, recently did get into the Bumble scene, giving it a red hot go. She has used a fake name, which a lot of people do on dating apps, which is fair enough.
Which is fine, as long as you end up telling them
exactly
your real name later on.
How fake is fake? Like, is fake your quite real fake. First name and your middle name instead of your last name?
No, quite fake. Oh. Very fake. I won't name it, because obviously then everyone will be, I don't know, maybe avoiding that profile, but... No, it's quite fake. It's not even close to her name, but obviously the photos.
Is it a catfish photos profile? Real. Or is
no,
it
the photo's real.
Photo's real, just fake name, so, but she doesn't want her identity kind of...
Exactly.
Oh, I feel like fake photos is not
no,
territory you should get into.
Especially when it's such a visual medium, right? The way that a lot of these work, swipe left, swipe right. If you're doing that with a fake photo...
It's purely based on looks. You're not going to know someone's personality based off a photo. Well, yeah. you can kind of get a glimpse or a good vibe
when they're sitting there with a picture of their dog, or perhaps it's a picture of them at a party holding a drink. You get some vibe of how they live their life,
how they might be. But yeah, obviously, pretty much you just look at the picture, find them attractive, right?
I don't know. I think it says a lot about a person what photo they choose. Actually, would you agree with that, Danny?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely would.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's pretty big call to put a photo. There's a couple that I've seen recently where it's with another girl, and I always think that's
a massive
call. Oh,
they're really confusing.
I know. Are
especially
they in a
when
relationship?
It's like the arm is like towards like any... the middle lower hip. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Any group photo, whether it be people of the opposite sex or same sex, I want to know who the hell you are.
Yeah, which one you are.
Put a little circle, like, yeah, do the photo edit, put a red then, circle
like,
around
like people
who
in the
are.
Bios are just like, I'm on the right. I'm like, thank you, I really needed to know that.
Very nice. But also, yeah, and I think the photo, if you have too many photos of yourself, that's also a bit of a turn-off for me. Like, if you've got, like, four
three's
consecutive
enough, three or four,
selfies.
Three or four, keep it there. But people have, like, 10, and, like, yeah. I don't want to be clicking through all 10.
No, look, I must admit, I've been having a lot of fun with this. As someone who never really did or has done the online dating scene, having the opportunity...
Didn't you meet your missus online?
No, not at all. No, we met very much through mutual friends. So aww. I've been greatly enjoying...
Facebook mutual friends?
Not yet, okay?
The kind
Facebook
of mutual
dating
friends
has-
we know.
Facebook dating hasn't launched yet. But no, I've been having a lot of fun doing a sneaky bit of swiping left and right, getting into the action for her on her behalf. To her credit, Alex has given me her phone, which is really generous, and just let me go to work. But the thing I've been enjoying the most is that seeing it from the female perspective, guys can be, let's be honest, they can be assholes.
Yes, definitely.
However... Being a guy myself, I take great pleasure in being an asshole back. And the result is that I have some of the strangest and most bizarre conversations going around on the internet with these random guys that I've swiped on. It's quite an odd experience. It's been a lot of fun for me, an opportunity to try out some really appalling pickup lines.
Is it true that every guy that lives in a 10-kilometre radius of me, you ask them if they know me?
This is a good segue. I was going to talk about that. So she keeps matching with people from Eltham. And among all the pickup lines and all the other things I throw around, the thing that I always say, if they say they're from Eltham, is, do you know James Strebanos? And the first thing they say normally is, no, why? They freak out. And then I've been using the line that you have a price on your head and that I need the money. So
bounty hunter.
Yeah, I think they think I'm a bounty hunter now.
Wow.
So just a heads up.
Don't worry, any guys knocking on my door. Thank you. Girls only.
Any vigilantes in Eltham coming for you? Dear contract killers. No, it's been a lot of fun, but it's very interesting to have a look at this world. And James, you're obviously involved in this world. You enjoy a bit of online dating?
Well involved, yep. It's not bad.
I had a bit of a trick when I don't have it at the moment, but when I used to have some online dating apps. I don't know if this is bad. I probably shouldn't share this with the public, but I will. You set the radius to like 1 kilometre, so you know if you find someone who you want to date or whatever.
Yeah.
You never have to change suburbs.
I mean,
literally, and they're always like, you meet them and then they're like, it's so weird we live so close to each other. Literally, it's happened so many times.
Yeah, I normally do like a 10K radius just because I don't want to be... travelling across half of Melbourne just for a girl.
You're talking to the guy who was in a 500-kilometre long-distance relationship for a year and a half, so, you know.
But then again, you're the one who's in a relationship that's worked out.
Yeah, successful relationship.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, I do find that fascinating. Have you ever used it to find friends?
No,
but it's funny when you do find friends on it.
Oh, right.
You have?
As in, like, you swipe people and you'll see like, friends. Yeah,
so that has happened to you. That's interesting in itself.
Yeah, but I have actually made friends off Tinder, like girls that haven't worked out that we've just like actually get along with and we're good mates and we don't want anything more than mates.
Wow. So
it can be used for friendship. I have used that for that. I don't know if I've friend zoned myself or I think we're going to be talking about that a little bit later.
Yeah. Well, for me, I really want, you know, some of these guys, most of them have been very boring, but if I find anyone who's genuinely interacting with me on my ridiculous conversational level, I want to be friends with these people. I want to know if it's weird to go,
yourself.
By the way, I'm actually not the person on the profile.
I'm actually not. How old's your friend?
19.
I'm actually not a 19-year-old girl.
But can we be friends?
That's so funny.
Oh, dear. The joys of online dating. Am I right?
You are right. Should we go to a song, guys?
Please do. What are we going to hit up now?
I think we've got a bit of Dean Lewis on the way.
We play a lot of Dean Lewis.
Yeah, so this one's Need You Now by Dean Lewis.
He's had a good year.
Yeah, you're listening to Get Serial on Sing. With...
It is just after 8 o'clock on this fine Thursday morning. I'm James, and alongside me is Brendan and Danny.
What's going on, Melbourne?
It is the last hour of the show, but it's going to be a good one. We've got the Moos continuing for another week. Love a good mood.
No, save it for the segment. Danny has no idea what we're talking about yet.
I am very confused.
And so you should be, but we've got an interview with Wing Defence coming up very shortly in the next 5 minutes that you can't miss. And we're going to be talking about friend zoning as well. And that's a very interesting topic that I'm sure both of you will get on board with. But for now, there's a bit of South of Your Border by Ed Sheeran and Camila Cabello. You're listening to James, Danny. That was South of the Border by Ed Sheeran and Camila Cabello. You're listening to James, Brendan and Danny on Sin. We've got an exciting interview with Sky from Wing Defence. And in a space of just a year, Adelaide pop punk band Wing Defence have taken full flight from determining their sound on debut single Stuck and thriving through the release of Listerine and Hindsight. Wing Defence now embrace the beginning of a brand new chapter, unveiling the emotional new track In Cuts. Sky, how are we this morning?
Hello, good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, you do have a new single, In Cuts, which we'll play a bit later. Could you just tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, sure. Cuts is a little tune that I wrote not very long ago, but about the situation from a few years ago when I was actually on the app called Tinder.
We're just talking about Tinder.
I was only on the app for a couple of weeks because I kind of realised it wasn't really for me. It didn't work well for me. But it's just about how it's such a fickle kind of, you know, app, and it kind of delves into some of the experiences of my friends who have been on it for a few years and the non-successful outcomes of it.
Yeah, so clearly you're not afraid to talk about some sensitive topics in your music. So do you feel that that's a strength of your music as a band?
Yeah, definitely. We just try to keep it as honest as possible.
Yeah, for sure. And can you tell us a bit more about the band? So obviously many of our listeners may not have heard of you in the Melbourne scene. So what can you tell us about the band's origins and where you are now?
So Paige and I started, I'd heard you say this before, we started Wing Defence just over a year ago. Well, we started writing music a little bit before then, but and we're a five-piece on stage with three of the guys, Anthony, Miles and Benny. And we're just having a lot of fun, and we always say we want to keep it that way and never forget you know, what Wingo's is all about. Just having a good time and writing good tunes. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And how, I'm really curious, because I'm a bit of a netball player back in the day, and wing defence was my position. Is the name inspired by netball, or what was it inspired by?
Well, it is, yeah. I wrote a poem a while ago, and when Paige and I were kind of mucking around, delving into the fact that we were going to start a little pop-punk band, we were out one night and I read her a poem that I'd written about someone that I was angry at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty deep, but the last line said, and what position do you play? Wing defence? So it's kind of like it was having a dig and kind of saying, well, wing defence is the player to go kind of thing.
Oh,
yeah, a bit diggy.
That is a bit tricky. Yeah. It really is. If you've only got six people showing up for the game, Wing D will go.
Yeah, that's it. So then she was like, that's the name of our band. Okay, cool.
I like it. Now, obviously, you guys are from Adelaide. We're across here in Melbourne, so we don't have much of a sense of the Adelaide music scene. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like operating in the Adelaide music scene?
Yeah, sure. Adelaide has a great music community and everyone's really good to each other. We have some great live venues to play at, and you can just kind of, because we're such a small city, you can kind of just walk around to all the best venues. You know, they're all right next to each other. So that's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And I am an Adelaide Crows fan, and I'm constantly getting harassed about it here in Melbourne. I have to ask, what footy team do you support, or are you interested in the AFL at all?
Oh, look, I don't care at all about the football.
Okay.
You're not alone.
But I do like to jump in the last 5 minutes and yell at the TV.
Are you a true Adelaidean then? Love it.
Exactly. And so what are the plans for the next year or so? Are you in recording new music, or what's on the horizon?
Yeah, we're in the midst of finishing our EP, which will be released early next year. And we've got another single coming out before the end of next year as well. So we've been working with Wade from Peter on that. Yeah, so it's pretty much finished, actually. We've just got a few touches here and there to fix up. And, yeah.
Fantastic. And do you have any shows coming up in Melbourne soon or on the radar at all?
Not at this stage, no.
All right. So, but we can look forward to it at some point in the future, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Now, before we let you go, we are about to play your new track. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
The Cuts one?
Yeah, so we've heard a little bit that's about Tinder and your journey. How was the process of making it? Was it a quick one? Did you write it in 10 minutes or was it a long process for you?
It actually was a quick one. I kind of just grabbed my guitar and sat out on the deck and just kind of thought about myself. And so the lyrics are kind of about the stuff that you wouldn't say on Tinder,
mm-hmm.
If you had a profile. So, you know, with dogs licking your cuts and your plants dying and all that kind of stuff, kind of showing that, you know, you're not perfect. Mm. So it was really kind of easy to write because I just thought about some of the idiosyncrasies in life and the really simple things that you're not perfect at. And then kind of made that into a song and then, yeah. And then the chorus kind of talks about how it's a long-winded process that a lot of people give up on.
Yeah. Beautiful Sky, we're going to play your new song, Cuts, right now. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Sky. That was Sky from Wing Defence. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. And we're going to get into a bit of Cuts here. Very excited to hear this tune.
You know, it should be a good one.
Okay.
Enjoy. And eats my cigarette,
but it should be sad. That was Cuts by Wing Defence. We just had a chat with Sky from the band. But
what a tune.
It was a good tune. I enjoyed that one. Yeah, I enjoy all the tunes. Pop punk. Anyway, we're going to be talking a little bit about friend zoning now, and obviously, I didn't even know what friend zoning was till maybe about 5 years ago. So it's kind of a new term. Do you reckon it's a new term in general, or just in my life?
I think friend zoning has been happening for a very long time. I don't know if it has had a name as such. These days, we tend to give everything a name. Yeah, including friend zoning.
Friend zoning. So, for those who don't know what friend zoning is, people that are living under a rock, it's
Hold on. I've got an online definition that I love. In popular culture, the friend zone is a situation in which one member of a friendship wishes to enter into a romantic or sexual relationship, while the other does not. It is generally considered to be an undesirable situation for the rejected person.
Fair definition.
Use it in a sentence. I was friend-zoned.
I love it. Anyway, so the question I want to ask you guys is, Brendan, you can't really answer it because you're in a...
I observe a bit of friend-zoning going on, though.
But are you the friend-zoner, or do you seem to friend-zone yourself? Like, say you're talking to someone and you come across more as a friend than hitting on someone, if that makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know if you can make that decision for yourself. Can you?
Well, no, it's just that I've kind of evaluated my dating game or my talking game.
Getting very meta here.
And I was saying to a friend yesterday, because we were actually having this conversation, and I friend zone myself if I really, really like the person. Because by friend zoning, like, I'm really nice and I care about them and I show that, and it comes across a little bit friendly or friendly.
As opposed to when you like someone, you need to be mean and ignore.
Yeah,
hold on
a second.
That is
modern
dating.
I feel like girls are more attracted to guys that are a little bit meaner or that have a bit of a... They're a bit of a smart ass or something like that. You know what I mean?
Because
if I'm a little bit mean, or not mean, I wouldn't say mean.
What about
if
like
I'm,
mysterious and like a bit removed?
Elusive.
Yeah.
I feel like if I play a risky game, a bit of a mean risky game, it works better for me than if I'm really, really nice.
I'm so out of this. I literally
I'm finding
no
it a bit
idea.
Hard to keep up. I guess, yeah, I don't know. Maybe mean. I don't think mean's the right word. I think you get a vibe from someone when they're a friend, yeah, if they're sharing all their secrets with you straight away and, like, telling you everything about their day. But you get more of a romantic vibe if maybe someone's a little bit, like, reserved and isn't going to tell you everything they're doing and just doesn't want to, like, show all the cards at once.
Because I play that game if I'm not as interested. But that game always works. But the thing is it sucks because normally when I play that game, I'm not interested, so it doesn't go anywhere. When I really like someone, I play a different game and I'm really nice and stuff, and it never works when I'm really nice.
I love that you're referring to it as a game as well. It kind of sounds like, you know, it's a sporting event that you get up to on the weekend.
He's been out of the dating game for a while.
Yeah, that's right. He had a good match on the weekend. But
I'm picking up where James is coming from because I get it. You've got to have a bit of a strategy, I think.
Yeah.
And I do think that overly nice, there for every moment, coffee every 10 minutes is a bit of a friend strategy.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
It just doesn't work. So I need a bit of tips to change that one. Or I should just find a way where I can play my other game to girls I really like, my more risky game. But it just doesn't come out. When I really like someone, just naturally, I have to be nice.
I like to think, though, James, that the girl you're supposed to be with will, like, love your
the friendly
be like,
side.
He's so nice to me, and it'll
and
just
also,
work out.
I think that sort of aloof, elusive game, it works well maybe for short-term relationships.
Yeah.
But in terms of actually a long-term relationship, you want to know that, you know, you're genuinely friends on some level, surely.
Yeah, and you want someone to like you for who you actually are.
Exactly.
And if that's who you actually are, then... That's
you can't
what you
fake
want.
It for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, for
maybe
sure.
Maybe you've got the right approach. Maybe you just need to give it some more time.
Possibly. Well, time will tell.
we'll touch back in season 3.
That's right. We give a lot of emotional and deep and meaningful advice today, haven't we?
I'm a bit reflecting too. Maybe I'm a bit too, like, cold and reserved. Maybe I
need to open up a little
maybe
bit.
I need to friend zone more. I don't know.
So you need to improve your game. I need to, like, kind of...
And I need to learn about what you guys are talking about because I have no idea.
Brendan's a bit lost.
Brendan.
A bit lost today. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Brendan and Danny. We're going to jump into another track here. Here's a bit of classic music. 3 AM by Matchbox 20. You want to intro this song, James? You want to hype it up?
Well, I love a bit of a throwback, so I did chuck this in on purpose, Matchbox 20.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Brendan, that's me, and Danny today. Look, that was splitting the audience vote in the studio, that one, but I quite enjoyed it. It's from a Mount Gambier punk band called Chelsea Manor. They did open at Triple J's One Night Stand over the weekend, hence why we gave it a play. Good on them. It's always good to see some other good things coming out of Mount Gambier. Yeah. I know, it kind of
Melbourne's
implies...
Melbourne's best exports.
Love it.
We might move along to something that possibly is even weirder than describing me as an export. But Danny is looking
what
so confusing.
What is going on?
I better explain myself. So while you were gone, we did decide that moo, the sound that a cow makes, a moo, is a good rhyme with news. And hence, there's a segment in this. We may have been a little bit desperate. So we did start the segment known as the moos. It is the latest and greatest in cow news. We like to keep both our farmers and our country-minded people alike updated on the latest in cow news. It was kind of meant to be a one-off.
Because we did the jokey news one week when Danny wasn't here, and then we didn't have any news to do the next week, or we just didn't want to do it.
It just spiraled, so basically. Like, okay, it's a downward spiral as the season goes on. But
so the moos continues today.
It certainly does continues. Wow. As we always say, we are milking this segment to the last drop, that's for sure. Look, it was meant to be a one-off. It's kept going.
Because it's an utter disappointment.
There's so much cow news. You are literally giving us the look that Trisha does every week when she's disgusted by.
It's just interesting.
Look,
you know when like your parents don't agree with what you're doing and they're like, it's interesting.
Yes, yeah, Mum.
Danny, study another arts degree. It's interesting.
You're laughing now, though.
Right?
Yeah, congratulations again on your job. That's
coming
up. Yeah,
journalism is a really high paying industry.
And low stress as well.
Oh my God, cruisy.
Yeah, you only work like 14 hours a day. Anyway, we are getting into some moves and a bit of a serious one to start with here. I'm sorry to start it off a bit sad, but we've got to cover all the important cow news.
Do we?
We do. 23 cows were struck by lightning and they all died in a row. Eerie footage reveals. So this
like
is
a domino
this,
effect? Or?
This is literally like something out of a horror movie. It's in northern Texas. There's an image of 23 cows
like on their
that
sides.
Have been electrocuted and are all lined up along the fence. It is horrific. So what happened is essentially the fence has been struck by lightning and the voltage it sent down has killed all the poor
cows.
They
look like dominoes.
That is really sad.
I'm sorry to start it off so sad, but I think it's important that people are aware of the dangers of lightning. And it's an absolute tragedy. I can't even begin to imagine what that would have been like to discover. It would be very, very strange. Mm. So we might move along from that one. Stay away from lightning and fences, guys. Into one that I think is a bit more hilarious, which is that more than 1 million Brits think that cows make bacon.
Yep.
Where do cows come from? More than 1 million English people don't know. They think that cows, not pigs, make this popular meat. So PSA, public service announcement, bacon does not come from cows.
It comes from pigs.
Wow.
I was quite proud of myself. I'm smarter than 1 million Brits.
That's true. You're not on the bottom of the food chain there. Apparently 1.3 million, in fact, Brits believe bacon comes from a cow. And a fifth of participants thought that veal was sourced from deer rather than a calf. And what one in four couldn't say what animal salami is made from.
Oh, I don't actually know. What is it?
I think that's multiple animals.
Now you're putting me on the spot.
Oh, all judging.
I'm laughing at them until
wouldn't
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a pig too?
I'm pretty sure. Oh, okay.
It's not right. A pig.
Okay. Does it have a bacon flavour?
I feel like it's...
No, but it's... I don't know.
We'll fact check this and get back
to you.
Yeah,
we'll get back to you. Maybe
back
we'll,
to the moves.
Yeah, we might, maybe Danny, look into that, our news guru. In the meantime, look, it's fascinating that I think that so many people don't get it right.
Salami actually does come from cow.
It's a moo product.
It's beef.
It's a genuine moo product. There you go. You learn something new every day. I just find it absolutely fascinating that so many people don't know where their food comes from. But I guess if you never see the animals...
If it tastes good, that's good enough for me.
Oh, dear. And next on the Moose, keeping it up, keeping it legendary, this is a great Queensland article for our Queensland base over here in Danny, representing. Queensland has launched Fitbit for Cows. It's been called the Fitbit for Cows, a digital ear tag that tracks the health of cattle amid hopes it will revolutionise Australia's $17 billion livestock industry.
Well, imagine the average step for them a day.
Yeah, surely they'd get a few steps in, a few more than me.
A couple.
Yeah. Aw, that's so cute. Doing laps nice of the story.
Laps of the paddock.
The long life digital tag uses GPS to track individual cattle and send the cattle and send the animal's health, temperature, pulse rate, and feeding data directly to a smartphone or computer. Now, I'm not happy about this. This
Why
is
not?
An invasion of privacy. These cows
they can't
have
consent.
A right to privacy. They exactly.
What do you reckon their average body temperature is?
38? I don't know.
I was going to say 34, but I'm pretty sure it'd probably be a bit warmer than that.
Well, you can fact check that one. I mean, come on. I'm not a fact checker here, guys. I'm here to do a radio show, okay? Talk entertaining news. You can do your own fact checking. The important part here is that cows are being discriminated against. I think you call it cute. I call it the next inevitable step between 1984 in a more literal sense this time. They was full of animals, right? Animal farm. My bad.
Still wrong, George Orwell. So
wrong George Orwell,
right,
but...
On the right track.
I'm trying to gauge whether you're joking or not. It's hard to tell. Eyes say joking, but his facial expressions say...
I'm totally with you, Dan.
Outraged.
I don't know if I've decided yet, but look, I get why they're doing it. Apparently, graziers will know if their cattle are sick. But seriously, guys, come on, some respect for our cows out there. It'll
love
be interesting.
A Fitbit.
You love
Fitbit.
A Fitbit, yeah. So you do use a bit of a Fitbit in your own personal life, do you?
No, but if someone gave me one for free, like they give
that
me to these
is
cows,
not a plug, no. Okay?
No, I'm promotion. On the same bandwagon.
I'm a bit jealous of these cows, actually, getting free tech.
Yeah, but do you want to implant it in your ear, Danny?
is it more or less painful than an earring?
Is there a health risk?
I very much doubt it, given that they're doing it to their cows.
Well, then go for it.
I mean, have you seen what this thing looks like, though? It's
be
going
a nice
to look
piercing.
Like you've got a big chip there in one of your ears.
Can they pierce it? Make a nice piercing, a Fitbit pierce on?
I think they already pierced their ear anyway to put the tags on. That's like, I'm number 1,003 cow.
Oh, my goodness. Here I
anyway,
am.
Anyway, what's
decrying...
our final piece of Mew news?
Oh, I'm so disappointed in you guys. I'm decrying all these security and, you know, the rights of the cow, and you guys are just jumping on the bandwagon. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I look forward to seeing you being tracked by the state very soon.
This is Moo News. We are sheep.
Well, to finish it off, this is a brilliant piece of footage, which obviously you won't be able to see. I'm going to get Danny to play it in the background. A bit of viral content going around the internet. It's a guy with a trombone... who is playing the legendary song Old Town Road to call in the cows. That's right, that music here in the background he uses each night to call in the cows, to bring them in from the fields. They come from everywhere. They hear that beautiful sound.
You don't want to do a bit of karaoke over that instrumental, Brendan?
Yeah, they're coming. That's right. You can see on the video that they literally are attracted by this sound.
This is so sweet. It's like the Pied Piper, but for cows and with a trombone.
And complete with a bit of cowbell as well, which I think should have been in the original.
Right till I can't no more.
If you're listening out there, Trisha, yes, we have completely gone off the rails.
I'm fading this out.
Moving to Old Town Road.
You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha, Danny, and a whole bunch of cows. That was the wonderful Moose for another week. We're going to get into a bit of Takeaway by the Chainsmokers. I love a bit of Takeaway, especially when it has a bit of beef in it.
Yeah,
so
a bit of beef, Takeaway.
We'll finish off with that.
Sneaky burgers.
Enjoy.
Yeah, for Takeaway.
We've reached that time of the day here on Get Cereal on Sin where we say goodbye for another week. It's been an absolute pleasure co-hosting the show with you guys today, James and Danny. I'm, of course, Brendan. We have missed Trisha today. It hasn't been quite the same without her, but it's been wonderful to have you back, Danny, at least temporarily until you take off again to Brisbane. Congratulations again on your getting a new job up there.
Thank you. I'm excited to see Trisha next week. I think she'll be back.
Yeah, so the last show.
Absolutely. Make sure you listen up next week.
It's going to be huge. Yeah.
We have got it'll be grand final week, so it'll be grand final public holiday eve.
Yeah.
So people will be getting excited. We're going to play you a whole bunch of James MCG songs.
Songs, whole MCG playlist, all the songs you listen to that come on at the MCG will all be played on the show, so get around it.
People stay away?
Exactly. He's been hyping this up for weeks.
Right on grand final eve, spring weather, finals time. Listen to us in the morning, waking you up. If you're into the footy finals, it's definitely some show.
Absolutely, and it'll be our last show of the season as well, so we're very, very excited for that one. Today, if you missed any of the content, make sure to get around the podcast or around our socials. That's at Get Serial on the Facebook, on the Instagram, or even apparently we have a Twitter account as well. So make sure you get around that. We did, of course, have some fantastic chats to Jack R. Riley and a member of the band Wing Defense. So the podcast will be up with all of that content as well. We've talked everything from friend zoning to the Moos, which is always a favorite of mine. Danny has been inducted into the Moos tradition. Did you enjoy that, Danny?
What an induction.
Maybe I'll think of a different word.
Get back to us. And we've also played some absolutely great tunes, so you'll be able to see the full playlist on our social media as well. Thanks for listening with us today. What was your favourite part of the show today, guys, just before we head off?
Well, I did take a win in the ridiculous quiz to have a grand final next week, the better grand final.
That's true.
Two,
so. It's amazing that after 9 weeks, we are now all level. Tied up. Sorry, so 10 weeks.
Grand final week, and we have an important grand final
of
between
your own.
Me and Trisha on it'll, our hands. So
it'll be an
excited
epic.
For that.
Get keen for it. What about yourself, Danny?
You know, I think it was good deciding that I was going to live in an apartment, not a share house. Thanks for the tips. Appreciated that.
Yeah, we pretty much did make that decision for you to find out how we got there. Again, listen to the podcast. We better get out of the studio and let the next show roll on. Thanks for listening with us this morning on Get Serial. We'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.